morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the wake-up call. Here it is, the 12th, I think, the 12th of August, my watch. I've worked so hard. The 13th, Catherine tells me. I've been working so hard that I've broken my watch. The date can no longer keep up. We have a very interesting program lined up for you today, Integrative Medicine. And I want to take a moment and thank one of the lovely underwriters for helping put the show together, Blue Ridge Graphics. They're at the corner of Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. Blue Ridge provides custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items such as bumper stickers, water bottles, and travel mugs for schools, organizations, and businesses. Blue Ridge Graphics can be reached at 434-296-9746. That's Blue Ridge Graphics. All right, now we can jump into meeting our guests for the day. A married couple, correct?
That's correct.
All right. That was the voice of Dr. Peggy Wright. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much.
Catherine, we need to crank that up a little bit. Your husband, Dr. Martin Albert?
Good morning.
Go move over just a touch. Oh, the other way.
Is that better?
No, not really, but we'll get Catherine to set you all up here. We do have a married couple here, Dr. Martin Albert, Dr. Peggy Wright, who are a couple who each represent, I guess, is it true if I say that you each represent different parts of a medical approach that has come together to make integrative medicine? Is that how you get integrative medicine, is to one of you comes from one way and another one comes from another way and you meet in the middle and combine into one happy family?
It's just a little bit different from that. In terms of our putting ourselves together, I have both more of a conventional medical background in nutrition, but I also have more of an alternative background in nutrition, and those are sort of integrated. And then with my husband, Dr. Albert, who has a background as a family practice person and has done a lot of research and self-tutorials in complementary and alternative therapies, when we put us together, you get a very full integrated approach.
Being educated on this program is one of my favorite things. I always learn new things almost every week, and that's what I love about it is getting a few new ideas. Now, your background, Dr. Wright?
My background is that I've got both bachelor's degrees and master's degrees in nutrition from very wonderful universities that are well-known in the area of nutrition, Berkeley and also Tufts. And I have a doctorate, which was mostly focused more on health psychology and related areas from a small graduate school in California.
And Dr. Albert, what's your medical background?
Well, I went to medical school at the University of Pennsylvania and then did 1 year of an internal medicine residency, didn't complete it. Chose to go on to practice, ended up getting board certified in family practice, and ended up doing a number of different practices. I started out working on the Navajo Reservation in Arizona, and then went from there to working in a migrant workers clinic up in Oregon, and then ended up being in emergency room work. And while being an emergency room doc, realized that I guess the beginning of my journey towards a more integrative medicine, that it made more sense to take care of people further upstream meaning in when they have a serious illness, to try and look after them before they had a heart attack or before a cancer developed, So that got me into family practice. And in family practice, I think I always had a humanistic, holistic orientation, a prevention orientation, and eventually realized that as a busy family practitioner taking care of people's urgent problems, I just didn't have the time or hadn't developed the knowledge base to really look more deeply at what was causing illness and how healing occurred. And that led me on into spending a number of years studying and learning and focusing on the information and the resources that got me into integrated medicine. And it was just a wonderful match for Peggy and I, with our personal and professional interests really dovetailed to set up the practice. So it's been a great adventure and an evolving adventure for us.
I'm curious about that adventure, because I think for whether it was correct or not, one of the promotional words used by the station for this hour this week was holistic. And I'm curious as to whether or not a word like that and all the connotation that goes with it scares away a healthy percentage of the average citizen.
Well, when I think about holistic, I really think the main thing that comes up for me is a patient-focused approach, and patient-focused rather than disease-focused. If I look at 100 people who've had a heart attack, I see 100 very different people who are experiencing their illness in very different ways, spiritually, emotionally. For some people, a serious illness is a problem to be solved. For some people, it's a kind of bump on the road. And for some people, it's a devastating crisis that just takes apart their whole the whole fabric of their lives. So the holistic approach is looking at the patient as an individual, not as someone who has a disease, and looking at the particular qualities in them that are occurring when they have a disease. And that includes the spiritual and the emotional process that they're going through. And it also includes the physical process that they're going through. One person who's just had a heart attack may have a serious problem with cholesterol. Another person who's just had a heart attack may have difficulties with handling stress and reacting badly to stress.
When you say that that one of your goals, one of your purposes is to help someone with a spiritual, I believe you said, and emotional needs, is that what the regular person who's going to their doctor expects or needs? Or I'll give you that they need that, because I believe that they need that. But that's not really the purpose of the hour today. Does the average person expect their doctor to not just help them physically, but to also help them spiritually and emotionally? If I'm going to see you because I have some chest pains and I want to find out why, am I also looking? I'm certainly looking for you to tell me what's causing it and what we can do about it.
Well, that touches on seeing you as an individual who has particular needs. And like you say, you might just want to come in and see me because you're tired of taking the statin drugs, which are the drugs that are given for high cholesterol, and you might want a more natural approach to that. But you may also have been devastated by your illness, or you also may have it may have caused a depression. It may have caused some serious questioning of life's purpose, of values. So my job is to see what your needs are. And to see what your needs are, I have to be aware of all the different dimensions that are going to occur with illness. If I just ignore them, I won't pay attention, I won't tune in to your need. Now, your needs may be very particular, and my job is to be responsive to your needs and to work in partnership with you to really see what in the entire spectrum of things that affect your health and your well-being and your healing need attention from us.
I think in all fairness, conventional medical doctors basically, you know, do confront those issues and to a certain degree do end up dealing with those issues. The only problem is that in terms of the amount of time they have with patients, they really don't have much time to do it. And I think there's a lot of doctors out there who would probably like to spend a little, be able to spend more time with people. And one of the things that we have is the ability to spend time. I know that Dr. Albert, even working a conventional family practice, still addressed these issues and was still sensitive to these issues with his patients during that time period. And now he's really got more time to be able to explore those things.
We are talking about integrative medicine here with Dr. Martin Albert, Dr. Peggy Wright, who are a married couple, correct? And you're, what's the name
still
of your...
Married.
Still married. What's the name of the local practice?
It's Virginia Integrative Medicine.
Virginia Integrative Medicine.
Located in Charlottesville.
Now, Dr. Wright, one of the things that I think the average, and I don't know, I hope that's not a bad phrase because I'm considering your practice to not be average. And I don't know whether that's a compliment or a slam, and it's not meant to be anything anything but a typical word choice. But the average doctor is certainly graded on some sort of bedside manner. You know, when we talk about the spiritual and emotional effect that the average, that you two put into the practice, and I think that the average doctor, if you, you know, that's one of the things that you hear from people who have been, who have needed medical help, is that the specialist just came in and spoke to them and then left, and they got, you know, the questions weren't answered to the family, and they don't really know what's going on. You hear that a lot, whether it's fair or not. And I guess what I'm hearing from the two of you is that, to phrase it differently, is that bedside manner is a major part of what you're doing here, is to explore beyond, here's your prescription, your 10 days worth of pills, now go on and you'll feel better, and if you don't call me after 10 days.
That brings up several very, very interesting things. One is that, well, let me back up a second and collect my thoughts. One is that the issue of holism. We see a lot of people who come into our office who have a dermatologist and a cardiologist to take care of their heart, a dermatologist to take care of their skin problems, a gastroenterologist to take care of their gastrointestinal complaints, and they really have no one who takes a good look at them, who sits down with them as a human being who has physical processes, maybe an inflammatory process going on that ties in and is causing all the different, is causing the skin problems, that is causing the heart problems, that is causing the gastrointestinal problems. So one of the luxuries we have, and I really look at it as my practice has evolved, I have the luxury in the integrative medicine practice at Virginia Integrative Medicine of really being able to sit down with someone, and our usual first visit is an hour and a half, to really sit down with them and take a comprehensive look at all of the different things that are going on.
90 minutes?
Yeah. Sometimes
I
longer.
Spend more time waiting in the lobby, the waiting room, than I do actually get to spend with my doctor, and I like my doctor.
Well, as they say in family practice, you kind of give up the important things for the urgent things. You really have to take care of people's urgent problems, and specialists are busy. The average doctor's visit now is about 7 minutes. So one of the things that we have done in this practice is both Peggy and I have long visits with people, have the luxury of the time to really explore in depth all the issues and the broad range of issues that influence people's health. So that's a big piece of that in answering your question. And our desire for the people who we work well with is to form a partnership with them. I mean, as a family practice physician, people would often come to see me. They'd want a diagnosis and a prescription, and that was pretty much it. Well, the people who would best work with us now are people who want to work with their physician or their nutritionist in a very in-depth healing relationship and a partnership to really work together to explore what the problems are that are affecting their health and to look at possibilities and get support and get information to be better, to find improvement in healing.
For me, this particular approach works well with the traditional training I had, which really was fairly time intensive, because nutrition does require a fair amount of give and take and patient education and planning what's doable and strategies for change over a period of time. So this is really a chance to continue to do that in a way that brings in new information, cutting-edge information, and approaches that are very targeted towards specific health problems, and then arranged to work for the individual.
Do I see both of you, better question. When I show up for my initial visit with Virginia Integrative Medicine, a brief rundown on how that works. 90 minutes there, what am I going to do? What kind of questions are you going to ask me, et cetera? I'm not asking you to give away business secrets, and I'm not asking you to take 7 minutes to reply, but you know, what should I expect?
Well, you know, we do start out with asking you to invest some time into your own health. We do have a medical questionnaire that gets filled out before you come in, and I often tease people because it is about 16 pages, but a lot of it's just check-off.
Lord.
A lot of it is just check-off, and it really gives people a time to reflect on their health history, their health condition, and it saves us a lot of time and helps us focus on underlying issues and problems.
And I guess you can answer those questions that you may not know if you show up in the office. Like, you know, if I go and the question says, is there a history of epilepsy in your family? Well, hell, I don't know. Okay, my parents don't have it, but what about my uncles or something like that? And so you have an opportunity to ask around, get the family sort of knowledge that you may not be prepared for otherwise.
Exactly.
Food allergies, migraine headaches, things like that.
So I fill out my 16-page questionnaire, and I'm prepared for that when I arrive.
There's more. You're not off the hook so easily. And let me mention, too, that our website, HealthyVim, V-I-M, standing for Virginia Integrative Medicine, healthyvim.org, has a lot of information and a lot of explanations for new patients.
It actually was a good website.
Thank you. Well, another piece that we'd ask you to do is to do a health life chronology, to look at all the significant events in your life and the significant events in your health. And this is often very useful for people because there's often a aha kind of process that occurs as people start to see how their health interweaves with their life and their life's events.
And when you say things that happened in my life, does that mean like, the time I broke up with my girlfriend at age 12, or the time that my great-grandmother passed away when I was, 29, or?
It could, if your great-grandmother was an extremely important person in your life, then yes, absolutely. People have had deaths in the family, they've had divorces, they've had major changes in work, they've had car accidents, they've had operations, they've had significant illnesses at different times. All those things could be important.
Yeah, and sometimes people will come in and look at this and saying this, in doing this, I realized that after I took this new job, which I really don't like, I started to get sick. And all my illnesses occurred following taking this new job.
Or I've noticed that, I've had health problems ever since I was a child. And when I was 2 years old, I had this, life-threatening infection, and I was given lots of medications, and I don't think I've ever been quite the same since.
Okay. It is 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk with Dr. Peggy Wright and Dr. Martin Albert about integrative medicine. The markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley, sunny and pleasant today. Highs 80 to 85, clear and comfortable tonight. Lows 60 to 65, mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs 85 to 90. Right now it's clear across the listening area, 73 in the Valley, 72 in Lynchburg, 77 in Richmond, 80 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's Let's take a moment and thank listeners like Patrick Eck, the Farino family, and Jill Green for contributing to WNRN's fund drive this past spring. It's because of people like them that you have the wake-up call here on Sundays. It's also because of our program underwriters, like the ones you hear from this hour, as well as Gearhart's Fine Chocolates and Java Java. So stay tuned and tell a friend about Acoustic Sunrise, Bluegrass Sunday Morning, and other programs you enjoy on WNRN. And be sure to stay tuned and support us during the upcoming fall fund drive. We also want to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for helping us out today with their support. They feature a wide selection of camping and backpacking gear. The experts at Blue Ridge can help you get the most out of your summer outdoors. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen. They're in Richmond and at brms.com. All right, back to our topic today, integrative medicine, and our guests, the married couple, doctors Martin Albert and Peggy Wright. Feel free to dial us up if you have questions or comments, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's a toll-free number if you happen to be listening on one of the different dials, Richmond 103.1, Lexington, the new Harrisonburg 95.1, etc., maybe down in Lynchburg. That's the toll-free 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919 for the more local folks. Let me ask you two, it doesn't seem like it's that, it's not some odd thing, the integrative medicine. It just seems like a very smart approach to looking at a person's health. But I'm curious about how you're viewed by the medical world. Do other, because let's face it, it's not the majority of the way doctors view things, is it? I mean, the average PCP, or what's it called? What does that stand for, by the way? Physical...
Primary care physician.
Primary care physician, thank you. The average PCP office is not made up to be integrative in medical practice. And I'm curious as to whether how the average doctor views integrative medicine. I'm curious as to how the insurance company views integrative medicine. If I were to be a new patient, is my insurance plan, the average insurance plan, going to pay for my visit, et cetera? Who wants to take that on?
Well, we are getting a lot of referrals from physicians in Charlottesville and also some physicians out of town. I have the advantage of having done a family practice in Charlottesville for over 20 years, so I know the medical community pretty well. And I think a lot of people who otherwise might think some of the things we're doing are a little bit cockamamie, you know me and trust me and you know, feel comfortable. I think one referral... one way that patients are referred to us is we're very happy to take patients who have difficult and complicated situations. One practitioner here in town, Cindy Gentile, once described, a lot of people get kind of into the medical system. They kind of get chewed up and they get spit out, and they still have the same problems they had when they got started. For family practitioners or other doctors, these are very troublesome patients because they have really worked hard to help them, and they're still having a lot of symptoms and a lot of difficulties. And the conventional approaches may not be that effective for them. So we get a lot of patients like this.
And these people often get marginalized, which is a really... very, very difficult situation. Their problems are often not taken seriously, and the causal aspects of those problems often are not addressed.
You know, we actually had a patient come in last week who was in a kind of desperate. She said, you know, I've been to the gastroenterologist, and she's done all the tests she can think of, and she said, I can't do anything more for you, and kind of sent me back to my primary care doc. And I call my primary care doc, and he says, well... You know, I don't know what more to do. Why don't you go back and see your gastroenterologist? So I guess as a solution, this woman came to see us, and I think we do have a lot to offer her.
Let me take a call real quick, and then we'll jump back into this. Paul, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, man, what you bring to the show today?
Well, first I'd like to thank both of these wonderful people for the work that they do. I know of them, and our family is greatly appreciative of them. And I'm a spiritual seeker for all of my life and believe that our health is very much connected to spiritual reality. But what I'd like to bring to the program is the fact that the air pollution and water pollution has such a great degree to do with our health, and I'm primarily concerned with water. I would like maybe people to contribute their opinions about the importance of water, and I'm very concerned about the things that are put in our water, primarily fluoride. The research I've read on fluoride is that it's a toxic chemical, a byproduct of making aluminum and fertilizer, and my source is Dr. John Lee, a great hormone doctor. So I'll end my interruption in your show, and thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Paul makes a very good point that one of the things that affect our health very greatly are pollutants in the water and in the air, and the chloride, the chlorine, and some of the compounds that chlorine forms when it reacts with some of the organic chemicals.
Did he say chloride or fluoride?
Well, I think chlorine.
I thought chlorine. He said fluoride, which made me think of the goal to, I guess, make everyone's teeth better in your drinking water.
another controversial issue. The point I'd like to make is that people vary tremendously in their susceptibility to toxins, and they may vary 100 times or more in how severely a toxin impacts on them. And there's a concept that you're probably hearing about called polymorphism, that people have tiny variations in their genetic makeup that affects how well they can detoxify a substance or how that substance impacts on their bodies. And you take a group of people, and many may not respond poorly or adversely, badly to a particular chemical, but a small proportion may respond very poorly, and it may really seriously impact their health. So this is one of the things we look at is detoxification mechanisms and why some people can detoxify things very well and others have less effective detoxification. Just a general word in terms of water, it does make sense for people to have a good carbon water filter if they are on a treated water supply. That does seem to be a healthy thing. It seems to be better than using bottled water and better than drinking the water without any treatment.
What if I have one of those water delivery things, you know, the 5-gallon waters in the tub, and because I live in the county and I don't want to drink my well water.
That's another way to go, and it gives you the exercise of hoisting those 5-gallon jugs around, too.
Yeah.
I think one thing that's important is that our individual health doesn't occur in a vacuum. It basically is part of a whole greater web of the environment, and that includes our water supply and our air supply. And that can have profound effects on people's health. Even just something like the air, the health of the air, and people who have asthma or respiratory allergies or problems like that. I mean, you can see the problems that arise. And then also in terms of the water supply, I think what Marty brought up was really important. Fluoride is certainly an important issue to look at it, but another important issue is the type of chlorine that does end up in the water supply, and which basically has hormone-like or mimics hormones effects. So there's a lot of things.
Xenobiotics.
Yeah, xenobiotics. So there's a lot to be careful of, and it's the kind of thing that the more awareness that we have about this, hopefully the more we'll all be able to do about it, because this is a public health issue, and it's something that's going to take I don't know if I should use the word tidal wave now, but a really group approach to changing things. And that's also true in terms of our diet, because our nutrition and what we eat now is vastly changed from what we used to. And we can see the results, especially in our children now, who have this great rate of obesity and now are getting what used to be called adult onset diabetes at a very young age. So there's a lot of things that go beyond the individual to the society and to the environment, and all these are very, very important and part of a holistic approach.
Well, I think Paul's brought up a topic that should probably have its own hour later on in another day, because I know that we did a show last week with the SELC attorneys on environmental issues from the growth, and Kale Jaffe's going to come back hopefully in October to talk about air pollution, and I think I can add this to the list of future shows that get their own hour and division. We are talking about integrative medicine with Dr. Peggy Wright, Dr. Martin Albert. Peggy, now you come from the nutrition side of things, and Marty, you come from the conventional side of things.
Exactly.
That's right? And that's what makes the integrative part of the your practice, correct?
Well, it's a part of it, but it's not the whole thing. I think part of it is that it's not just having a nutrition background, but it's having a nutrition background that looks at really sort of cutting-edge type of therapies and really checking into the literature and not taking just a simple conventional approach. So, for example, for heart disease, not just adhering to the diet from the American Heart Association, but really kind of moving beyond that. And the same thing in terms of diabetes. I think that we have kind of a much more stronger approach than might be typical of somebody with my background. I am a registered dietitian, which is usually thought of as a very conventional background, but my approach tends to be a little bit less conventional. And then there's also the knowledge base of all the other of a lot of other complementary alternative therapies. I did a 2-year postdoc over at in research over at the University of Virginia, and basically looked at a number of different complementary alternative therapies, did some research on one that actually was not nutrition-related, which actually was Qigong. So part of it is knowing about these things, having this background, and being able to integrate those as well into the practice.
A big piece of that, too, is networking with other practitioners in the community, with other complementary alternative practitioners. So when someone comes to see us, and it looks like they might benefit from working with someone who's an expert in traditional Chinese medicine or acupuncture, or they might benefit from working with someone who's an expert in homeopathy. Well, we don't...
Homeopathy? Homeopathy. Don't expect me to know all the special jargony words.
Homeopathy, another approach to medicine using very... And I may not give a very satisfactory explanation for it because I'm not an expert in it, but using very dilute substances to treat particular symptoms. But what the point I want to make is that we are developing a connection with other complementary alternative practitioners in the community so we can refer people when we think or they think that working with another type or another approach, another paradigm of treatment or healing would be helpful. So we can try and sort out with people what particular approach, conventional or non-conventional, would be helpful for them, and try and get them an outstanding practitioner in any particular area that would work well for them.
Just to give you a little background on where the knowledge base comes from, I spent almost 20 years as a graduate school professor up in the Boston area, basically working with adult students in complementary alternative therapies.
979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That is a toll-free number, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919 for the local call here on Sunday Morning Wake Up. Integrative medicine is today's topic. Feel free to dial us up. Catherine's out there to patch you through. Now, I don't think we got into we answered the question about what the insurance companies think about integrative medicine.
Well, they don't think about integrative medicine. And it doesn't really show up on their radar. So as far as the insurance companies are concerned, I'm a family practitioner who is not a PCP. And we have been working with insurance companies, accepting assignment, which means that we'll take people's what people's insurance will pay for will pay us for their visit, including Medicare. We've not been working with Medicaid. And we're hoping this will work. The problem with this is that I may see someone for an hour and a half or two-hour visit, and the insurance company will pay me what, as a family practitioner, they would have paid me for a 20- or 30-minute visit. So whether we're going to be financially viable, according to how we're functioning right now, we don't know yet. We're meeting expenses at this point. We have yet to pay ourselves a salary, and we'll continue practicing until the money runs out or until we start to be able to pay ourselves something for it. But our goal is to really provide care to people who need care and who really want to work cooperatively with us. And if we don't take insurance, we exclude a lot of people.
Now, I'm in a real different situation because nutrition is generally not covered by insurance companies, nor has it ever been. And it's a long story as to why it happened that way, because physical therapists get covered, occupational therapists get covered, and being a registered dietitian, it is part of the conventional medical community. However, it is not the case that nutrition does get covered by insurance except for a very, very rare occasions. And so people do need to pay me out of pocket. So I work very hard to give, you know, added value to, you know, to our nutrition sessions.
I can't remember where I heard it, but I think I probably misquoting, but where I heard someone refer to the healthcare system as a sick care system, where you the system is set up to take care of people who are already sick rather than a healthcare system where you try and prevent things ahead of time, much like what seems to me a nutritionist would do more than half the time.
Well, you know, that may be, but even that's not quite the whole story because, you know, as much as 30 years ago, we knew that 6 out of 10 of the major causes of the disease were nutrition-related. And there's something called medical nutrition therapy. People who have diabetes, you're not looking at prevention. You're people with actual heart disease, you're not looking at prevention. People who have osteoporosis, you're not looking at prevention. You're looking at people who need a nutritional treatment, nutritional therapy. And that's not being covered. The only thing that's being covered is people with diabetes, under limited conditions, diabetic education, and people who have kidney failure and on kidney dialysis. So it's very limited, and that's something that really needs to change, and it may take a push from the public to do it.
All right, 11:39 here on the Wake Up Call with Dr. Peggy Wright, Dr. Martin Albert, as we talk about integrative medicine.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, it's a story of our lovely city and the 15 mayors who still live here. The arresting officer in the cat shooting case gets arrested. John Paul Jones speaks out on the jack. And what's the deal with those city car decals? The Hook. Trying to be integrative right here in town. Today's programming on WNRN also brought to you by Five Guys Burgers and Fries, Sevo Reader's Choice for Burgers, and rated by Zagat Restaurant Survey for 4 years running. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, in the Hollymead Town Center, and now on the Downtown Mall here in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's fiveguys.com. And we are talking about integrative medicine. Feel free to dial up 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. We'll take your question. You know, one of the things that I found interesting when I was poking around the healthyvim.org, is that the proper name? Mm-hmm. HealthyVIM.org website. Killer sodas.
Well, that brings up kind of a larger issue. We live in a society where we are guinea pigs in a great experiment to have people live in a way that in the millions of years that we have been on the earth, no one's ever lived before. You know, eating stuff that we've never eaten before, having levels of stress, decreasing our activity, and big surprise. We have a very sick society where most of the illnesses we face, including those caused by toxins, as we talked about before, caused by stress, caused by poor diet, most of them are societal illnesses, environmental illnesses. One of the biggest pieces of that is sugar. Sugar's gone from being a very rare nutrient, maybe 100 or 200 years ago, to being a big component of what we eat.
Very specifically, high fructose corn syrup.
And the remedy that some people take for that, which are artificial sweeteners, are in their own way almost as bad for people. There was an article in a newspaper in Utah recently that really tickled me, where someone had some aspartame, and they used it as an ant poison to get rid of the ants in their house. And they found it very effective, and now they're using it for the fire ants in their yard, and they're using it for cockroaches.
I don't know why I'm laughing, other than I guess you laugh at fear.
Well, one thing, I'd encourage people to, try going off all of it. I had one client who stopped drinking her diet sodas, and lo and behold, her headaches went away.
We find that the conventional approach of, well, I'm going to go back a step and say, food sends messages. It's not just calories, it's not just taste, but food sends messages on a nuclear level to our body. It affects our genes and affects the expression of our genes. And certain foods make us hungrier, certain foods make us deposit calories into fat. Certain foods rev up our metabolic rate and make us burn more calories. Certain foods slow down our metabolic rate. So food isn't just the substances, the building blocks of our body. Food really talks to our genes, our genetic substance. And as the one quote from President Bush that I think, As much as I don't like what he said, he often says we're sending the wrong message. And I think this is the problem with sugars and with many of the foods we eat, that they send the wrong message. And conversely, there are foods that send the right message. And the phytonutrients, in 10 years, the phytonutrients are going to be the big thing that you look for on the packages of foods.
What are those?
They're the chemicals in the plant foods that we eat that... Go ahead.
The brightly colored, all the brightly colored fruits and vegetables, the dark blue in the blueberries, the bright red in the tomatoes, the wonderful orange in the carrots, and all the different nutrients in the dark green leafy vegetables. So all these things are things that our bodies actually have evolved with, strangely enough, and rather than just being neutral, they actually do communicate, many of them actually do communicate with the genetics in our body and basically change the way that we detoxify different things. They may affect the way that our bodies handle sugars. They can affect our body's propensity to develop cancer. And this is all hot new stuff.
Well, as someone who needs to work on their diet, I will ask... 100 years ago, 200 years ago, when people were obviously eating differently, weren't there still a lot of medical issues, medical problems that the average person had? Or were they mostly things that can now be fixed by taking a pill?
When you look at William Osler was a physician in Canada who was probably one of the most prominent North American physicians, and he wrote what was the most outstanding textbook of medicine in the late 1800s. And when you look at what he says about coronary heart disease, he says this is a very rare disease that we hardly ever see. Obviously, as you say, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, there were significant medical problems, but they were a whole different category of medical problems. Infectious disease, diarrhea, respiratory disease, problems in childbirth. And public health, advances in medicine, advances in public health, have to a large degree, at least in the wealthy parts of our country and the wealthy parts of the world, cleared up a lot of these problems. And the problems we see now, the large numbers of cancers, coronary heart disease, stroke, diabetes, these are diseases of affluence and cultural diseases of the lifestyle that has become prevalent in our society that we didn't see 100 and 200 years ago to the degree that we see it now.
I mean, that is a great way to slide into the next set of questions that I have, because you brought me some material to read before the show. And one of the things that I found most interesting was an article, or it might have even been two, on the the difference or lack of difference in developing drugs for critical diseases versus long-term chronic ones, and the fact that the pharmaceutical businesses seem to be leading towards making their money, their future money, in lifestyle drugs rather than actually repairing our systems in medical ways. What's your take on that?
Okay. The drugs that we use a lot now come as stand-ins for living skillfully, in my opinion. A lot of the problems that people have with high blood fats, elevated cholesterol, have to do with eating an unskillful diet, eating the wrong things, not eating the right things. So when someone has elevated cholesterol, there are really two ways they can deal with this. One is they can take a drug for the next 50 years that's going to cost a couple of $100 a month and has potential problematic side effects, or they can change the way they eat and change the way they exercise. So our focus in Virginia Integrative Medicine is we try to give people choices. Some people may decide, well, I'd rather just take the drug and not change anything I'm doing, but many people would prefer to be free of drugs. They turn 60 and notice that they're taking five or six different medications and they have a lot of medical problems, and they say, wait a minute, I didn't want to have all this. I don't really need all this.
And so the new system, it seems to me, at least from the article that I read, and I'm curious to get your feedback on it as well, is the change you mentioned earlier was that from when the Canadian doctor at the end of the 1800s had written his book on the rarity of chronic heart disease, or is that what you called it, coronary heart disease,
yeah,
as opposed to now, was a change in our lifestyle. And the way that the pharmaceutical companies will be making money are the bad lifestyle habits that we have now. How does that work into what integrative medicine does?
Well, I think our goal is to give people choices, to make them aware of what the factors are that are contributing to their health problems, and to give them a choice to either, you know, go with the medication and continue the factors that have contributed to their problems, or to change, to affect the things downstream. A lot of the medical problems that we take care of, that medicine takes care of, as you said, the disease care system, are consequences of our behavior and our genetics and our environment rather than causes. So we're trying to get back to the causative elements. Now, the other interesting thing about drugs that we were looking at in those articles The question comes, why have a lot of good drugs gone bad? Here are drug companies that have invested $500 million or more dollars in developing a drug, done many, many studies. Here are people who are experts in pharmacology who have concluded that these drugs are healthy or are not harmful. And then a few years down the line, we find that, like Vioxx, when Vioxx went south, we find that it has serious consequences, causing possibly precipitating heart attacks. And the reason is that these drugs were designed as short-term drugs for acute problems. They weren't designed as drugs to take for long periods of time over many years. And the consequences of taking them for long periods of time, the little, what is it, little purple pill, the Nexium, the many of the other medications, the COX-2 inhibitors like Vioxx that people take for pain, it turns out they have serious long-term consequences that weren't understood when the testing was done that showed that they were safe for short periods of time.
We are talking with Dr. Martin Albert, Dr. Peggy Wright, about integrative medicine. 11:51 here on the Wake Up Call. We are winding down the hour, so if you want to dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS.
So we like to...
Wait, let me take this call real quick. We got Tracy from Louisa. Hey, Tracy.
Hey. How's it going?
We're doing well.
I had a question. I was just wondering if you could tell me what the difference between functional and integrative medicine is, because it sounds very similar to what I know as functional medicine.
Ooh, very good.
Well, I would say that functional medicine is one particular subset of integrative medicine, and for us it's a very important approach to the integrative practice that we do. And functional medicine, essentially, you know, we really are trying to look at causes. We are looking at a variety of different factors, looking very closely at physiology and a number of different systems in the body that I won't go into because of the time, and trying to put all these pieces of the puzzle together as they relate to a particular individual.
In its simplest terms, conventional medicine might be looked at as structural medicine. When someone's had a heart attack, that's an event that occurs quite suddenly. But from a functional medicine perspective, they have had dysfunction in either their lipids or in other aspects of how their body works, maybe for 20, 30, 40, 50 years prior to an event where the coronary arteries are blocked and they experience a heart attack.
All right. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Tracy from Louisa helping us out. 11:53 here on the Wake Up Call. Peggy, if those headphones are bothering you, just lay them on the floor. We'll let you know when the next caller is coming in, and you can pick them up then. That's why you should support us during the upcoming fall fundraiser, so we can have a new set of headphones for guests, and we can get that dual plug, which is what we really need for the for the wired headphones.
Rick, is that standard equipment to have a Dixie cup with a string going between Peggy's ear and your mouthpiece?
I will just remind everyone that this is community radio, and we do not have all the funds that a lot of other places spend on their lobbies. It is 11:54 here on the Wake Up Call. Let me thank 45fix.com for their support today. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And as though you would go somewhere else, I will remind you that George Bell is back from, like, 2 months vacation, and he'll be here for Les Temps Purdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Bon Jovi, no Journey, no Metallica, but you will hear Talking Heads, the Cranberries, and the Waterboys. And he likes requests. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN. All right, back for our last few minutes with Dr. Albert and Dr. Wright. you know, I didn't get into this earlier, but I did ask several questions about the respect that integrative medicine gets, whether it's from the general public and their belief in how this is different from the primary care physician and the medical world that they know, from the insurance companies, from the rest of the medical world. And a lot of, or I don't know, how much of what you do deals with the holistic side of things, the herbs. I read something on the website about visual imagery and that sort of thing. And I think that those are the sort of things that make people sort of raise their eyebrow as to, what this is. So we got a few minutes left here. Jump into that and tell me how that plays a part in helping people.
Well, there's a couple of things to think about. One is that there's a vast amount of literature on herbs at this point in time. A lot of it does come from Europe, where herbology is very well respected and is actually part of the regular pharmacy that is used in the healthcare system there, particularly in Germany. And then in terms of guided imagery, there are just hundreds of articles in terms of medical uses of imagery.
What is that?
Interactive guided imagery is essentially using the power of the mind's imagination to be able to influence physiological processes. It's more than that. Actually, it can be used to it can be used to explore psychologically. It can be used to explore the physical body. It can be used to, some people use it in more of a spiritual, it's a very important part of a lot of spiritual practices. And imagery is not necessarily confined to just the visual. Imagery really has to do with the part of the mind that is able to basically have an auditory component. You hear something in your mind's ear, you see something in your mind's eye, you might have a physical sensation, for example, like when you know something is right and you just have a feeling. So there's a whole bunch of things that go into imagery, and there's a way to guide people deeper into themselves and through this process by which they come to know themselves better and, from a medical point of view, can actually influence certain aspects of physiology that we thought could not be influenced.
The area of interactive guided imagery is a particular approach to imagery that Peggy and I have been trained in that we use in all the ways she said. Also, it's a wonderful technique for people who, say, want to make changes in their life, say they want to stop smoking, or they want to take better care of their diabetes, but they're meeting with a lot of resistance or a lot of difficulties in doing this. It's a means to explore the resistance and to find a way to, from their own inner wisdom, to deal with the issue to their advantage. So it's a wonderful creative technique, not using our imagery for them, but rather eliciting their own images that are very powerful and touch deeply into their wisdom and into their connection to their body.
One way of explaining it is that there's guided imagery that's kind of over-the-counter. You can buy a CD that can guide you through a specific imagery, but that imagery is not yours. The interactive guided imagery, one of the people who we've trained with, Marty Rossman, who's a medical doctor, he basically talks about it as a prescription strength, because it's very much tailored towards the person using their own imagery and really helps them develop their own resources, which I think is really important.
Well, unfortunately, we need to finish up here because George is ready to come back after all his time off. I want to thank you both for coming in today. I think it's a very interesting topic. I hope that it's the medical method of the future, because I personally believe that you can't just look at one letter on the page. You have to look at the entire book for it to make sense. And I appreciate you devoting your Sundays, Dr. Martin Albert, Dr. Peggy Wright.
We call it complete medicine.
Complete medicine. Thank you very much. HealthyVIM.org if you have further questions. Next week, Kevin Lynch, who is a Charlottesville city council member, but who will be here as an everyday citizen to talk about the Patrick Michaels as state climatologist issues. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.